Reading from Sri Navadi Bhavataranga by Srila Satchitananda Bhaktivinoda Thakur. The second book in the compiled book by the title The Hidden Treasure of the Holy Dharma Navadip, published by Ananda Printing and Publishing and Mandala Media Group for Sri Chaitanya Sarasat Mat Navadip.
All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Sri Navadip Bhavataranga. The Holy Dham. May the Dham of Sri Navadip, measuring 16 kroshes in circumference, which is the crest jewel of all holy places and the resting place of all demigods, rishis and the Vedas, and which is the principal manifestation of the Lord's Sandhini potency, the eternal existence upon which His Chit and Ananda potency reside, become visible to my eyes. May my eyes see the 16 kroshes of Vrindavan within Mathura Mandal as identical with Navadip within Gaura Mandal. These dharmas are but two manifestations of one principle, which is infinite and purely spiritual, and which, only for the reasons of differing pastimes of the Lord, has taken the form of two abodes. By that one inconceivable potency, Achintya Shakti, which is infinite and spiritual, the Lord has brought these two dharmas into the material world in order to liberate the living entities dwelling here. This is the mercy of Sri Krishna. May all those bound by Maya see this Vrindavan and Navadip dharma. Only by attaining the proper qualifications can the senses of the living entities taste the spiritual nectar of these dharmas. Instead of tasting sweet nectar, unqualified persons with material senses scornfully deride these places as trifling bits of dull matter. Since the cause of qualification is the mercy of Krishna himself coming through the mercy of the devotees, the living entities should seek out the association of the pure devotees of the Lord. One cannot attain proper qualification by following the paths of jnana and karma. Only by means of devotional faith and by the association of the devotees of the Lord can one overcome the prison of the material world. The very moment that the senses of the living entity give up material illusion, his eyes will see the splendor of the spiritual dharma. Oh, when shall I attain that state? When shall I see Sri Navadip dharma, thus transcending the boundaries of material existence? More cooling than the brilliance of 10 million moons, when will that dharma appear before my eyes? The 9 islands of Gaura Mandal are like a giant lotus. In the middle of the 8 islands, which are the 8 petals of that lotus, is the supreme island called Antardeep, and in the center of that island rests Mayapur, the appearance place of the Lord on earth. Upon seeing that, I shall achieve overwhelming bliss. The Vedas sing of a transcendental place called Brahmapur. When my eyes are free from illusion, I shall see that place as identical with Sri Mayapur. It is in this place the supreme Gokula or Mahavan of Braja that the son of Shachi performed his eternal pastimes. What was the abode of the Gopas and Gopis, Vaishyas, in Braja has become the abode of the Brahmana families in Navadip Dham. In the center of Mayapur eternally exists the dwelling of the Brahmana Jagannath Mishra, the supreme purifying agent. Though eyes afflicted by material illusion will look there and see only a small house, some earth, water, and a few articles, if Maya Devi is merciful and lifts her covering, one shall see a vast spiritual dwelling where Sri Gauranga is served by his eternal mother, father, and countless servants, all incessantly mad with love. There Lakshmi Priya and Vishnu Priya eternally serve the Lord's lotus feet. Sri Gauranga, embodying the whole Panchatattva, resides in that place in his wondrous form. Sri Nityananda and Sri Advaita, Gadadhar and Srivas, and innumerable devotees have their individual places in Mayapur. Everywhere are the houses of Vaishnavas. O Mayapur, please be merciful to me. To the southwest, the Ganga or Jamuna, twisting like a serpent for her own benefit, comes to serve Sri Gauranga, the jewel of the twice-born. Upon her banks are many ghats, temples, a multitude of groves, and the images of proud Hamaya and Bridha Shiva, who are the protective guardians of the holy Dham. Throughout Mayapur are scattered countless houses of the Brahmanas, wide roadways, courtyards, forests, and temples. In the southeast, on the bank of the Saraswati River, is the eternal area known as Ishodhyan, the Garden of the Lord. Why should the rascals of Kali Yuga, bound up tightly by material illusion, have the privilege of seeing all these treasures of the spiritual realm? Mayadevi has thus hidden the Dham, taking advantage of the erosive nature of the Ganga. Thus the eyes of the materialist can see only the shadow of the real Mayapur. By the mercy of Sri Nityananda, who is the possessor of all spiritual powers, may that Mayapur be revealed to my eyes, and may my eyes be imbued with the proper reverence. O Nityananda Prabhu, please bless this worthless fool with a vision of the household pastimes of the Lord which transpire in this land. O Mayapur, center of the eight-petaled lotus which is golden glowing, effulgent and pure, please shine before my eyes. Here and there are groves, the lake of Prithu, and many pastures for the cows. How beautiful they are to see! There are many water canals, grain fields, and wide roads lined with kadamba, bakul, and other types of trees. To the west of this, on the bank of the Ganga, stands Ganga Nagar, where, in Gangadas's house, the Lord and his Brahmana friends attended to their studies. There also one can see Bharadvaja Tila, where the great Muni Bharadvaja, by worshipping Gauranga, obtained prema, and then wrote sutras in order to uplift materialistic men to the platform of devotional service. North of Pitukund is the village of the Chandkazi, Mathura in Krishna Lila. There also is Shashti Tirtha and the exquisite Madhuvan, an extensive area populated with many residences. O eyes, please become purified by seeing this scene. Further north is the attractive Saradanga, where the Sabara race, out of fear of the demon Bahurakta, resides secretly with Lord Jagannath. May I always keep sight of this place. Northwest of Mathura, I shall see the splendour of Simantadeep, whose border is the bank of the Ganga. There, in great distress, Sri Parvati took the dust of the lotus feet of Gauranga upon her head. In the distance I shall see Bilvapaksha forest, where the four Kumar brothers are deeply absorbed in meditation on Gauranga. And further in the distance I shall see the land known as Sankarshan Kshetra, where Nityananda Prabhu performed his sublime pastimes. In the southern portion of Mayapur, on the bank of the Ganga near its junction with the Saraswati, is the grove called Ishodhyan. May that forest be the place of my eternal devotions. At this place my Lord Sri Sachinandana, along with his associates, performed his midday pastimes. Seeing the brilliance of this grove, I shall remember Radha Kunda. May all this be eternally visible to my eyes. Amid the huge trees and dense vines, various types of birds are singing the glories of Gauranga, and there is a large lake and a golden temple covered with diamonds and blue and yellow sapphires. The materialists, their eyes sunk in material sense gratification, cannot see these groves, however. They see only a small piece of land covered with thorns, which is periodically thrown into disarray by the flooding of the Ganga. In the middle of Madhuvan is Vishramasthana, the place of Kolavecha Sridhar's cottage, and a clean pond. After rectifying the Kazi, Sri Gaurangadev came here with his followers and took rest. When shall I shout Gauranga at this place with my voice faltering? When shall I cry here in solitude? When shall I see, in the emotion of divine love, Sri Gaurasunda drinking water from Sridhar's old iron pot? And when, by great fortune, shall I see the young son of Shachi in the midst of Kirtan, along with Nityananda, Advaita, Gadadhar, and Srivas, dancing and begging love of God at the house of Sridhar? After that, I shall see Suvarna Bihar, the place of King Suvarna Sen's incomparable castle, where Gauranga, in his supremely attractive golden form, danced with his retinue. When shall I wander throughout Suvarna Bihar, alone or with the devotees, weeping in love, my voice wavering? There at the lotus feet of Gauranga, I shall beg for a speck of service to their lordships Radha and Krishna, and offer my very life to the shelter of Srimati Radharani's lotus feet. Southeast of here is Nrsinga Puri. When shall I see its beauty, and when will I become overwhelmed with ecstasy upon receiving pure Krishna prema? Because my heart is a residence for lust and the other five enemies, duplicity, longing for fame, and insincerity, I shall pray to Sri Nrsingadev to purify my heart and give me the desire to serve Krishna. Oh, when shall I, weeping, beg at the lotus feet of Sri Nrsingha for the ability to worship Radha and Krishna in Navadeep, free from all difficulties? When will the Lord, who is fearful to evil but exceedingly merciful to Prahlad and the devotees, become pleased to give me some mercy? When will he be pleased to speak to this worthless fool and remove all my fears? Dear child, stay here happily in Sri Gauradham. Worship Radha and Krishna and develop attraction for the holy name. By the mercy of my devotees, all material obstacles are transcended. With purified heart, just worship the pastimes of Radha and Krishna, which are a flow of sweet nectar. Saying this, when will that Lord gleefully place his feet upon my head, at which moment I shall fall on the ground, showing symptoms of ecstasy and experiencing love for Radha and Krishna by the mercy of Sri Nrsingha? West of this is the Gandaka River, past the Alakananda River, and Kashi Kshetra. Then, in Godrum, I shall see the place where Indra's Surubhi cow worshipped the Lord. This place is one of a kind in the three worlds. Just as Ishodhyan and Radhakunda lie close to the bank of the Ganga, so Godrum, where Markandeya received mercy from the Lord, lies close to the bank of the Sarasvati. O mind, please worship the groves of Godrum, for by this very soon you will see the full wealth of Gauranga's pastimes. Seeing these pastimes, you will easily attain the pastimes of Radha and Krishna, and all your desires will be fulfilled. Godruma is Nandagram, the city of Nanda, and the residence of the Gopas, where Lord Gauranga performed many pastimes. Having taken milk products for lunch at a cowherd's house in the afternoon, Nimai would go and herd the cows with his Gopa friends. The cowherd boys would say, "O brother, you are a Gopal. Your form as a Brahmana boy does not suit you. Come, we shall carry you on our shoulders and go herd the cows. We shall head towards your mother's place in Mayapur." One Gopa would affectionately give Nimai cheese mixed with condensed milk, and another Gopa would become unsteady just on seeing the wonderful form of the Lord. Another Gopa would give him fruits and flowers, saying, "Come to my house every day. You are worshipped by the Brahmanas, but you are also the Lord of us Gopas. We cannot give you up. You are the object of our knowledge and meditation. Look, even the cows, simply upon seeing you, begin mooing and giving up their calves and the grass. Since it is late now, go home to your father's house, and tomorrow we shall again meet here. I will keep yogurt, cheese, and condensed milk for you, but if you are late, I will become upset." In this way, daily in Godruma forest, Nimai and Nitai would play with the cowherd boys. If it was not too late, Nimai would bathe in the Ganga before proceeding home. Will such a day ever be mine when I shall see these pure, love-laden pastimes of Gauranga? Aspiring to serve the Lord in the company of the Gopas, and with the sentiments of a Gopa, I shall reside in a cottage in Godruma with fixed mind. South of Godrum lies attractive Madhyadeep, filled with a string of beautiful forests. There at midday, Gauranga and the devotees came and gave the seven rishis their darshan. There also on the bank of the Gomati, in Naimisha forest, the rishis listen with rapt attention to a recitation of the Chaitanya Bhagavat. To hear this narrative about Gauranga, Lord Shiva and the demigods mount Brahma's swan and make haste to arrive. When shall I wander through this forest and see that assembly listening to the Gaura Purana? On the bank of the Gomati, when shall I hear stories about Sri Chaitanya on the Ekadashi day and during the holy month of Kartik? When shall the audience of Shaunaka and the Rishis give me mercy and put their foot dust on my head? I will raise my two hands and say, O residents of Navadvip, attentively drink the nectar of Gauranga Leela in this forest. South of there lies Brahmana Pushkara, non-different from Pushkara, where the Brahmana Jivana Das worshipped Gauranga and was consoled by seeing his golden form. Further south is Uchchahatta, non-different from Kurukshetra of Brahmavata. Here all the demigods reside, performing Gaura Kirtan. Sometimes the residents can hear that music. At midday, Gauranga and his associates would stroll in these forests, overcome with transcendental love. When the devotees would give just a hint of Krishna's pastimes, Gauranga, tasting the emotions of Radha, would begin to sing and dance. When shall I, alone or in the company of devotees, drown in the waves of the ocean of love of Sri Chaitanya? When shall I wander at noon in the forest of Madhyadeep, understanding that emotional state of the Lord? When will the inhabitants of Madhyadeep be merciful and reveal to this destitute wretch his goal? See, here is Gauranga, our Lord, dancing with his associates in a grand kirtan in Brahmanagar on the bank of the Brahmakunda. When shall I see that astounding golden form of Gauranga with two long arms, wearing a garland of forest flowers and calling out loudly, Chant the holy name, one and all! At that moment, Srivas and all the devotees shouting, Hari, Hari, will begin Sankirtan, and some will shout, Chant the name of Gaura Hari, brother, for without him we cannot attain the service of Radha and Krishna. Near Uchchahatta is Panchaveni, the holy place where the demigods come to relax. At this place, the three streams of the Ganga, Bhagirathi, Bhogavati, and Alakananda, and the Jamuna and Sarasvati come together, desiring to perform service to Gauranga. By bathing here, Gauranga and his men purified this Tirtha of the sins of the people of Kali Yuga. Vyasadeva and the Rishis recognize that in all the 14 worlds there is nothing to compare with the Panchaveni. When, by bathing in the waters of the Panchaveni, shall I be able to obtain constant remembrance of the lotus feet of Sri Gauranga? Filling my hands with water which has washed those feet, drinking my fill and becoming intoxicated by the association of Gauranga, when shall I be so blessed? Across the Ganga from Panchaveni is Koladeep, where the Lord in the form of a boar appeared to his devotee. In the scripture, this place is called Varaha Kshetra. It is a spiritual realm rarely attained by the demigods. Known as Kulya Pahar, it is the topmost place of Gaura Leela. After taking sannyas, Sri Chaitanya attempted a journey to Vrindavan, but he was tricked and came to this town instead. Here also is the school of Vidya Vachaspati, the brother of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. By the power of his pure devotion, he attracted the Lord by taking bath in the Ganga. When shall I stand on this bank of the Ganga and by the mercy of Vidya Vachaspati view the opulences of the spiritual kingdom? When will the Lord, King of the Sannyasis, be visible at the top of his palace? Seeing the effulgence of that Sannyasi, I shall fall to the earth in great separation. Just as the gopis, upon seeing Krishna in Dwalka, dressed as a king, began to weep, remembering his pastimes on the bank of the Jamuna, so I long to take the Lord back to Mayapur, where he was shining in the dress of a young boy, his hair long and curled, his dhoti folded thrice, and performing many charming pastimes with his young friends in Ishodhyan. This sannyasi is also my Lord, and I am his servant. And these different appearances the Lord assumes are but some of his unlimited pastimes. But my heart desires to take the Lord back to the bank of Pritukunda, to Srivasangam. Further on from here lies Samudragiri, purifier of the whole universe, where formerly King Samudra Sen fought with Bhima and received the darshan of the Lord, who acknowledges his pure devotees. Here also the ocean, overcome with divine love and taking shelter of the Ganga, came to see the pastimes of Navadip Dhamma. In this way, witnessed by both the demigods and the demons, Ganga Sagar resides in Navadip. The fortunate living entities can see Bahulavan within Koladip. Absorbed in Kirtan, Gauranga and his associates came and danced here many times. O Koladip, be merciful to this worthless person. Give me the right to live in Navadip among the devotees, and give me access to the wealth of the pastimes of Gauranga, who is my lord in life and death. In the northern part of Koladip is Champakahatta, a great tirtha where Jayadev worshipped Gauranga and where Vaninath had his house. In that house the Lord performed a great festival of Nama Sankirtan and showed the great extent of his prema. At this village is also a Champaka forest where the gopi Champakalata gathers flowers for the garlands of Radha and Krishna. This is none different from Kadiravan in Braja, where Krishna and Balaram take rest. At Ritudip, the abode of transcendental bliss covered with attractive forests, the seasons perform eternal service to the Lord. In one part of this area exists Radhakunda of Braja. Sometimes Gauranga, singing the glories of Krishna and remembering the pastimes of Krishna as a cowherd boy, would call out the names of the cows repeatedly. Shyamali, Dhubali. Weeping, he would also call out for Subala and Sridham. When shall I wander in Ritudip, seeing the beauty of the forests and becoming stunned upon seeing the pastimes of Radhakunda enacted directly before my eyes? Here on the bank of the Manasaganga, near Radhakunda, Krishna and Balaram, together with Dharma, Bala and Mahabala, would go off to distant solitary forests with countless cows and calves, playing tricks, singing, and gossiping as they went along. Losing sight of the calves, they became alarmed, but at the sound of Krishna's flute, the calves all come running back. Just as I am able to catch a glimpse of this pastime, it all vanishes, and thus I fall to the ground unconscious. But upon regaining my senses, I shall rise up and continue wandering slowly through the forests. O Gauranga, O Krishna Chandra, ocean of mercy, you are the wealth of the wretched and poor, and I am the lowest rascal. Saying this and weeping continuously, I move onward until suddenly I come to Vidyanaga. This Vidyanaga is the abode of the four Vedas and the 64 branches of knowledge, and is known as Saraswati Pit. At this place, Brahma, Shiva and the Rishis revealed all types of knowledge to the residents of the material world. Knowing that the Lord would perform his educational pastimes here, Brihaspati gave up his abode in Svargaloka. Taking the form of Vasudev Sarvabhauma, he came here and taught all types of knowledge according to various processes. Whoever lives at Vidyanaga and sings the glories of Gauranga becomes a fortunate teacher and will never know grief. Whoever takes up the worship of Gauranga and receives the vision of his transcendental form will be freed from all ignorance. Shall I ever see that Gaurasunda as he goes to Vidyanaga with the intention of gaining knowledge? Here also Devananda Pandit, opposing the devotees, committed an offence to Srivas Thakur and was punished by the Lord. Even Shesha does not fully understand the pastimes of the Lord, such as when he will become excited by a certain action, what will be the object of his thoughts, why he gives up chanting to punish the students who criticize him, or what types of happiness he gains by defeating his teachers. Yet whatever the Lord does is a cause of bliss. The Lord is independent, and, as I am simply his servant, my very limited intelligence does not have the power to judge him. O all you inhabitants of Navadip, who were his teachers, you took nourishment of the Lord's eternal pastimes and are therefore worthy of all respects. Please give to me, who am destitute, the qualification to enter into Nama Sankirtan. And to the Tirtha of Vidyanaga I make the request that the darkness which hides Gauranga's identity may never come over my mind. May my mind transcend this Maya. North of Vidyanagar shines Janudweep, where the hermitage of Janumuni is visible to all. Here Janumuni drank the Ganga, who then appeared as his daughter Janavi. Here also Bhishmadev learned Bhagavat Dharma in the Muni's ashram, and Janu himself sincerely took to worshipping the Lord and attained the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya. This Janudeep is none different from Bhadravan of Braja. When will that forest be visible to my eyes? On top of Bhishma Tila, in that forest I shall perform my worship, and in the evening Bhishma will appear before me in his pure spiritual form, black like Krishna, wearing Tulasi Mala, decorated with 12 tilak marks, and constantly chanting the holy name in bliss. Bhishmadev will say to me, "Listen, O newcomer to Navadip. Now I am singing the glories of Gauranga. Prior to this, while dying on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, I was able to see Sri Krishna. And the Lord told me, 'Previously you had the darshan of Navadip, and as a result of that you have gained Gauranga's mercy and have become an eternal inhabitant of Navadip. Therefore, give up all other desires and aspirations. Live in Navadip and worship Gaurahari. You no longer have any need to fear the bondage of material objects, for it is certain that you will attain Gauranga's lotus feet. By the mercy of the Lord, the liberated souls can see the pastimes of Gauranga and Krishna at all times in this dharma. Lamentation, fear, death, all causes of disturbance, all material desires, and all afflictions of the conditioned souls, none of these things can exist here. The pure devotees, by the potion of servitude to Krishna, have all sunk into an ocean of happiness. They do not know the pains of this world, and they do not experience the difficulty of any wants, because they are situated in pure bodies with pure desires. The Supreme Lord, who has unlimited devoted followers, who are either eternally liberated or coming from the material world, performs his pastimes in this forest with each individual according to his respective emotional constitution. This place is unlimited and with no connection to dull matter, for here the spiritual energy is in control. The Lord's followers, the place, time, the senses of the body, all are situated beyond the deluding energy in a state of pure goodness. As long as one does not give up the body in material existence, and as long as one's intelligence sticks to material designation, the actual dharma will not be visible to him in its complete form. That is by the Lord's desire. However, by the Lord's mercy, you will receive a spiritual body, for at this place progress is unobstructed. The illusions of the material energy will retreat, and you will receive unlimited bliss in this eternal spiritual realm. But as long as you have your present body, hold on to the principles of bhakti very carefully. Service to the devotees, chanting the name of Krishna, and worship of Radha Krishna should be performed diligently at all times. With the help of the devotees, the name and the dharma, keep undesirable association far away. Soon you will attain residence in the eternal dharma, and there pure service to Radha Krishna will be manifest. Hearing these instructions of Bhishmadev, I will offer my obeisances at his feet. Giving his blessings, he will disappear, and weeping, I will proceed to Modrumadeep forest. This forest is none different from Sri Bhandiravan of Braja, where the birds and beasts are all spiritual entities. In the branches of the trees live cuckoos who sing the glories of Gauranga and Sita and Ram continuously. The countless banyan trees spread their branches out to block the sun. When will this place where Krishna and Balaram displayed their pastimes be visible to my eyes? When shall I wander about observing the splendor of this forest and suddenly spot the cottage of Rama and witness the sight of Rama, the color of new green grass, wearing the dress of a brahmachari, accompanied by Lakshmana and Sita? Seeing Ramachandra's form, I shall fall to the ground in the forest, my body shaking with love, speechless, as I drink the beauty of that form with my two eyes. Being merciful, Lakshmana will come forward slowly with fruit in his hands and place his foot gently upon my head. "My son, here, eat this fruit. Living in the forest, this is all we have to offer to our guests." Just as he says this, the vision will dissolve, and weeping, I shall begin to eat the fruit. Within my heart I shall remember that inconceivable vision. Shall I ever see that breathtaking green form of Rama again? O land of transcendental gems, Bhandiravan, my heart weeps without end to leave you. At that place Balaram and Krishna, on the pretext of herding cows, performed many pastimes. In the same way, Gauranga performed many pastimes here in Modadruma, becoming intoxicated by the sound of kirtan in the company of his friends. Then, slowly, I shall go to Vaikunthapur, to the forest called Nishreyasa, which is abundant with all grandeur. There resides the Lord of the spiritual sky, who is worshippable by all the demigods, in the company of his three energies, Leela, Bhu, and Shri. As much as my Krishna is endowed with the topmost sweetness, so the Lord of Vaikuntha is endowed with all opulence and grandeur. Krishna is not without the same opulences, but he makes these invisible to his devotees. O Lord of Vaikuntha, you were merciful to Narad. Hiding your opulences, you satisfied Narad by transforming yourself into the form of Gauranga. Seeing that form, I shall dance. Diving into the ocean of bliss, I shall cry out in a loud voice. Crossing over the Viraja River and leaving Brahmani Nagara, I shall climb to the top of Arkatila, sit there and worship Gaurahari. I shall become intoxicated singing the nectar of the name. O Arkadeva, Surya, let me see you, reddish-hued, long-armed, clothed in the dawn, with Talasi Mala, sandalwood paste smeared on your body, the name of Gaurahari on your lips, and tears in your eyes. I know you will then speak to me, saying, My son, I have appeared before you because you are a devotee of Sri Gauranga. We demigods, directors of material affairs, are also servants of Gauranga's lotus feet. I simply aspire to be the servant of the servant of Gauranga. By my blessings you will obtain Krishna Bhakti, and you will have the strength to live in the Dharma and chant the holy name. But I derive so much happiness hearing your singing of the sweet name of the Lord that you must please keep coming to this place always. Offering obeisances at Suryadeva's feet, I shall proceed to Mahatpur. This Mahatpur is non-different from Kamyavan of Krishna Leela. Here Yudhishthira and his brothers resided with Draupadi for some time. Here they heard the Gauranga Purana from Sri Vyasadeva, and here they performed intensive worship of Gauranga. Even now the devotees can see the assembly of Yudhishthira and the rishis, Shukadev, Charvak, Devala, Gargamuni and Bhoma, sitting at the base of a tree, weeping as they hear the pastimes of Gauranga. When shall I see that assembly, offer my dandavats from a distance, and hear from the mouth of Vyasadeva the story of Gauranga delivering the atheists? In love and ecstasy I shall fall unconscious. After some time, seeing the assembly gone, shouting the name of Gauranga, I shall fall flat on the earth and cry. Feeling hunger during the end of the first quarter of the day, I shall pick fruits from that forest. But at that time Draupadi, the wife of the Pandavas, will approach, carrying rice and cooked greens, and say, Here, child, take this offering of mine, rice and a few sweets, which have been offered to Gauranga. Offering my full obeisances, I shall extend my hand and receive the rice and greens. Taking the wonderful prasad, all my desires will be satisfied. Whoever gets the mercy of the prasad of the Lord obtains pure Krishna Bhakti. May I eternally be the recipient of that mercy so that I shall be able to easily give up this material world. Having taken that prasad, when shall I come to Rudradeep, non-different from Kailash, the abode of Lord Shiva, which shines throughout the three worlds and where the 11 Rudras dance and become paralyzed with love of God? Here Durvasa took shelter, gave up the practice of yoga, and began worshipping Gauranga's lotus feet. Ashtavakra, Dattatreya, and the other yogis, along with Lord Shiva, gave up the monistic philosophy and instead engaged themselves in meditation on the lotus feet of Gauranga. No longer do they desire to merge into the Brahma Jyoti. When shall I wander in the forest and come to the Shiva Linga? Sitting here, I shall meditate on Gauranga, and then I shall behold Parvati Devi, not too distant. When she notices me, I shall pay my respects and ask, "What is your name, mother?" With tears in her eyes, she will reply, "O my son, my sorrow is impossible to describe. There are 5 types of liberation, and I have been given the name of Sayujya, or Nirvana. My 4 sisters, Salokya, Sarupya, Samipya, and Shasti, have gone to Vaikunthapur, leaving me here, bewildered. By the mercy of Mahadev, Dattatreya and others were giving me attention for some time, but finally they gave me up and took up residence in Rudradeep. Uselessly, I am now looking for them. Where and when shall I find them? Sri Gaurangadev has liberated everyone, but is merciless to me. Therefore, I shall find a place to give up my life. And because I am bereft of Gauranga's mercy, that place will be called Nirdaya." Just hearing the word Sayujya, my heart will tremble as if in fear of the witch Putana. In great fear, I shall close my eyes and sit tight at this place. Then someone will come and touch me, and I shall rise and see before me the figure of Shiva, dancing and singing out to Gauranga, "O merciful son of Shachi, give mercy to all living entities, drive away all fear." I shall fall at Mahadeva's feet, requesting purification. Being merciful, he will place his feet on my head and give me instruction. "Listen, devotion to Sri Krishna is the essence, and jnana, karma, mukti and yoga are all useless. By my mercy you will conquer Maya and quickly attain the shade of the lotus feet of Gauranga. To the south, see Pulina there, so attractive. That is Vrindavan within Navadeep. Go there to witness Krishna's pastimes. Soon you will attain Sri Radha's lotus feet." Shiva will disappear, and after bowing down, I shall move on, crying all the while. Viewing Sri Pulina, I shall fall unconscious to the earth, my voice choked with emotion and producing only a gurgling sound. In that state of samadhi, in a divine vision, a wondrous figure will appear performing her constitutional service. I shall recognize that it is I, Kamala Manjari, the eternal assistant of Ananga Manjari, the goddess of my heart. She will introduce me to all her companions and give me the service of preparing camphor for their lordships Sri Sri Radha and Govinda, and she will reveal to me the pastimes of the divine couple. Near Sri Pulina is the Rasa Mandal, where the son of the king of the gopas, Sri Krishna, surrounded by 1,000,000,000 gopis, is dancing with Sri Radha. Such dalliance does not exist within the material world. Who is the person that, upon seeing this, can ever give up that astounding sight? That sight which I shall see, I shall not be able to describe. I shall lock it in my heart and gaze upon it eternally. In my own grove, while cultivating that sight in my heart, I shall serve constantly under the direction of the Sakhis. West of the Rasa Mandal is Sri Dhira Samira, and further off, Vanksivata and the bank of the Jamuna. Ananga Manjari, the younger sister of Srimati Radharani, will mercifully show me the Dharma, and being questioned by Rupa Manjari, my mistress Ananga Manjari will reply, "This new servant will be engaged in Lalita's service. Her name is Kamala Manjari, and she is very devoted to Sri Gauranga. Be merciful to her by giving her direction and seeing to her progress in cultivating devotion to our lordships." Hearing this, Rupa Manjari will touch my body with her hand, thereby mercifully imparting to me sublime spiritual emotions and the intense desire to worship, following in her footsteps. Vishakha, whose complexion is like lightning and with ornaments and dress sparkling like the midnight stars, will appear with the camphor tray in her hand. I shall fall at her feet and beg for the shelter of Sri Radha's lotus feet. They will take me to the private grove of Lalita, who is dwelling inside, meditating on service to Radharani. I shall offer my obeisances at her lotus feet, and Vishakha will explain my identity to her. "This is one of the inhabitants of Navadeep who wants to serve you, and thereby serve the feet of Radha and Krishna." Lalita, very pleased, will say, Give her a place beside your associates, and there she will attentively perform her desired service. At the time of your service, take her with you, and gradually she will receive the mercy of Sri Radha. Without the mercy of Radha, how can the service of Radha and Krishna be attained? Hearing Lalita's words, Ananga Manjari will take me to her grove. At the time of service, being very affectionate, she will graciously allow me to accompany her. Performing my task, I shall catch a glimpse of Radha and Krishna in the distance. And then perhaps Sri Radha will give me a direct order, give me the shade of her lotus feet, give me her direct mercy. As I perform that service, I shall gradually become expert. Thus I shall please Radha and Krishna, and in that way I shall reach the heights of ecstasy. My dream broken, I shall weep and weep, and, gazing at Sri Pulina, slowly cross the Ganga. Living at Ishodhyan in my private grove, I shall worship Gauranga, who is non-different from Radha and Krishna. Then I shall very carefully worship Radha and Govinda, and shall gaze upon Radhakund and Vrindavan. Remembering the lotus feet of Ananga Manjari and the Sakis, I shall drown in the ocean of love for Radha and Krishna, and in the unlimited bliss attained by performing my service to their lordships. This Bhaktivinod, servant of the servant of Sri Chaitanya, is begging for residence in Navadip Dhamma. I am eager for the shelter of the feet of Sri Rupa and Raghunath Goswamis, Rupa and Rati Manjaris, and from them I anxiously beg to achieve my perfect spiritual body and service. O residents of Navadip and Vrindavan, please quickly establish me in the circle of the Lord's servitors. That is certainly within your power, for you are already stationed there. As my position is to be but a servant, by somehow assisting you in your service to their lordships, I shall be able to obtain residence in the Dhamma. And Navadip Dhamma, again I beg you to give me your mercy, for without first receiving your specific mercy, how can anyone attain to any of the Lord's Dhammas? Please do not consider whether I am qualified or not, especially in my attempt to present this book. I have simply extracted the essence of the instructions of Sri Janava Devi, Ananga Manjari, and Nityananda Prabhu, the holder of all energies. Thus, whoever reads this Navadip Bhava Taranga with devotional faith will be able to experience the nectar of the pastimes of Gauranga. Swarup Damara, Sri Lalita, will certainly give him mercy, give him the shade of his lotus feet, and accept him as an associate in the holy Dhamma. Thus ends the reading of Sri Navadip Bhava Taranga. For further information about this book and its subject matter, please contact the secretary, Sri Chaitanya Saraswat Math, Kolaganj, Post Office Navadip, District Nadia, West Bengal, India. Postcode 741302. Our email address is govindam@scsmat.com. That is govindam@scsmath.com. In addition, you are welcome to visit our website, scsmath.com.